city of Sydney, home of corruption, loose money and sleaze.
Do not enter the city.
It's the city where everybody fails upwards. The city where you can't walk 5 metres without somebody selling you drugs, Botox, or fucking gelato Messina. And in this glittering glory hole, it takes a keen eye to separate the haves from the have-mores. Separate the dodgy property developers from the really, really dodgy property developers. It takes a team who knows Sydney so well that they've had the good sense to broadcast this show from an entirely different city altogether.
Ladies and gentlemen,
on Sydney's Triple M, this is Radio Chaser.
It most certainly is. Hello, Sydney. Charles, Mark, Reese, and Dom with you today. In Radio Chaser today, we're going to head to Bali to speak with the Aussie who broke out of the notorious Karobakan prison. Surely could we show the rest of the Bali Nine the way out as well?
We've got Sean Davidson, do we?
We do.
Oh, my goodness.
All the famous people on the run want to come on this show. And because the RBA governor said that all Aussie workers should, we're going to ask the boss for a pay rise for us here at The Chaser. We want to hear your stories too of asking your boss for more money. Have you given it a go? How did it go? And if you want to ask your boss live on air, we're here for that as well.
Real issues, unreal solutions. Triple M, Radio Chaser. Ah.
Good news for workers everywhere across Sydney, across the country. The Reserve Bank Governor, Mr. Philip Lowe, says that our economy is being held back by low wage growth and that staff, Aussie workers like you and me, should have the confidence to ask their boss for higher pay. Good on you, Philip Lowe.
He's quite the radical, isn't he? He's got his Che Guevara t-shirt on, his little beret when he was making the announcement. It's very exciting.
So I assume everyone in the RBA has just come and knocked on his door going, mate, you said pay rises.
Can I just say, I'm not convinced that this is the guy we should be taking advice from. This is a headline from late last year from the SMH. Every single senior bank executive earns more than RBA boss Philip Lowe. I feel like this is maybe where this is coming from.
Mate, have you got a problem with RBA governors?
No, not at all.
Because my grandfather was an RBA governor, mate. If you could just show a bit of respect.
Sorry.
He's not with us anymore.
Just a minute's silence.
Anyway, if you want to go and ask your boss for a pay rise, today's the day. You can take the news article, it's in all the papers, go for it.
Because my theory was that, you know, this guy's a banker. He'd be on, what, $500,000 at least?
Minimum. It'd be 900
and,
minimum.
And I reckon he just glanced at the pay statistics of ordinary people.
Yeah.
And he just got shocked that everyone wasn't earning millions of dollars. And they said, oh, wait a minute, everyone's got to ask for a pay rise.
Yeah, what?
This is outrageous. They're not earning $5.3 million.
It's funny that his actual theory, just looking at what he said, was he said that despite the relative strength in the labour market, too many workers were putting job security ahead of pay rises and asking. You know, like that clearly workers were worried about asking the boss.
He said that they're worried about foreigners and robots.
Yes, that's right.
And foreign robots.
Also very scary. And I should point out that, like, for me, my personal, the only time I ever asked for a pay rise was when I was 18 working at Kmart in the shoe department, Friday night, Saturday morning. The minute I asked for a pay rise, I was sacked.
Yeah.
Well, I would have thought you would have been very good.
Security.
I would have bought shoes from you, Reese.
Well, I sold many shoes. It was about the fact that I turned 18 and the pay was going up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I used to work in the shop, and one day I saw that a colleague of mine had left their pay slip out on the counter, and I saw that they were making $5 an hour more than me. And I went up to my boss and said, this is outrageous. I've been here longer than that person. I know the work better. They're getting $5 an hour more than me. And they said, how would you like an extra $1? I said, sounds good. Yeah. So you got to
man up sometimes, don't you? Like, I was working at Sydney Uni, my first job, selling computers, and we all discovered that the pay we were on was so low that no one in the whole university, not even cleaners, was supposed to get this money. It was quite skilled work. So we went to the boss, asked for the pay we deserved under the award, and they took us to the tribunal and we all got sacked. But at least we stood up. Thanks, Sydney Uni, by the way. But at least we stood up for our rights. So look, we want to hear from you. If you've asked your boss for a pay rise, if you've had the balls to do this, 133353, we want to know how it went. And anyone who's brave enough to ask their boss for a pay rise live on air, it might add to the pressure.
Yeah, if the boss is in the next office to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
bring the phone
right
in. We want to hear it. 133353. But just any stories of whether you've done it, we'd love to hear it. But guys, we've done this. We've put our money where our mouth is.
Yes.
Earlier today, we went and talked to our boss, Jamie Angel, and asked for a raise. Here's how it went.
You do it.
Charles, you do it.
Okay, I'll do it. Do I knock?
No!
There's a gong.
Come.
Hello.
Enter if you feel ready to grasp the eternal flame.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello, boys. What do you need?
Hi, Jamie. We were wondering if we could get a pay rise.
A pay rise?
Yeah.
I can't see why not.
Really?
Absolutely. You boys work hard. I'm glad you came to me. Firstly, who'd like a new Maserati?
Oh, that would be nice.
Is it environmentally sustainable? Yes, thanks.
As far as a salary package goes, I'm thinking 1.5 each, climbing to 2.5, depending on performance. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Cheers, mate.
Great. Glad we're on the same page. What about a house? Who'd like a house in the eastern suburbs?
Oh, yeah, of course I would.
I like Glebe, actually.
Glebe?
Yeah.
No problem. A block of units down by the water, okay?
It'd be lovely.
Consider it done. Also, boys, we've bought you each a racehorse. Each of them via black caviar with a little bit of winks. You know those horses?
Oh, yeah, very famous horses. Thank you.
Not sure how I feel about horse racing.
Dom, can you not?
Can you just cut it?
It's okay, boys. I thought this might happen. Dom, we've bought 14 champion racehorses, totally loved in the punting community, and we're going to set them free for you.
That's so lovely. Thanks, Jamie.
I bought you all diamonds for your teeth, ponies for all your children, and magnificent coastal retreats for non-ratings period. But, boys, I want to ask you this. Do you really want this? All this stuff? The world we live in only has finite resources, and surely it is your chance to stop this obscene obsession with material wealth. Your spirits, your souls, your emotional well-being is far more important than mere things.
That is so true.
That's a very good point. Very good. Very true. Yeah.
We work in commercial radio for the spiritual fulfillment. Mm.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, boss.
Interesting.
Hang on. Did we just get a pay cut?
I think so.
So it didn't work for us, but we want to hear if you've had the guts to ask your boss for a pay rise. What happened? 133353. Give us a call.
Triple M. Radio Chaser.
Let's start with Damien in Cogra. Hey, Damien.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
Really well. Now, the call's gone out. Ask for a pay rise. Have you ever tried it?
Yep, about 15 years ago before I started working myself, I was a sales rep for a waste company, and I worked it out that I'd have to increase their income by $500,000 a year to get my total package, including car, to $55,000.
Oh, wow.
And so once I figured that out, I went to the boss and I said, listen, you know, it's like, this is ridiculous. I'm getting your income up by $500,000. You give me $55,000, you know, if you want to. If you want a bloody pay peanuts, go and hire a monkey, and they did. So I got the sack a week later.
Oh, that's terrible.
Cut to the monkey with a stick just hitting knobs. Yeah.
This is going to be...
So it doesn't actually work out in practice, what you're saying. Perhaps the Governor of the Reserve Bank on his fancy salary doesn't quite understand how it works. Did things end up well for you in other areas, at least, Damien?
Oh, well, I decided to go into business myself, and I've been there ever since, because I realised I probably wasn't a real good employee, even though I was pretty good at selling stuff.
That's good. Have you got any employees now, mate?
No, I don't want to be an employer either.
Fair enough. All right, 133353. Give us a call if you ever asked your boss for a pay rise. How did it go?
I wasn't ready for that question, but I'm looking just here at tips for how to negotiate a pay rise. And there's one is open with something personal. When you first go in to approach the boss, you open with something personal.
My kids can't eat.
Exactly. Yeah. My little girl needs shoes or whatever it might be. Number two, think of the negotiation as a competition.
Ooh. What do you mean?
Well, as in, what it says here is use a competitive strategy. So it's like, go in and go like, I'm trying to beat this guy
and
put your head in that space.
Yeah, think of it as Origin and don't be New South Wales. Well, let's go to Ben in Narellan Vale. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, how you going, boys?
Yeah, really well. What happened to you if you asked for a pay rise?
I was working as a sheet metal worker a few years back, and there was a rumour going around that the labourer was being paid more than the tradesman. So I was working with this labourer one night, and I asked him and said, is it true? And he said, yes. So I went to the boss and said, I want a pay rise. I said, that's ridiculous. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll get back there. And about a week later, I heard nothing. So I asked him again, and he still, oh, I'll get back there. Yeah, another week passed, and I said, righto, I'm leaving. I found a new job. Oh, hang on, I'll pay you more to stay.
Oh, right. So only then when you got the other offer, do you get the pay rise?
Because you had some leverage. You were competitive. Yeah.
How did it end up?
Oh, I quit and left.
Fair enough. So you reckon when we went and talked to our boss, Jamie Angel, we should have said, look, mate, frankly, a lot of other radio stations want us. Is that what you think?
Well, it may work.
I don't think you'd believe us, unfortunately. Thanks very much, Ben. It
sounds
pretty
like
good.
Sounds like every anecdote, either from callers or from ourselves, that involves any kind of negotiation ends in dismissal.
Yes, it does. Totally.
I think what Philip Lowe has done is it's going to result in hundreds of thousands of workers actually being sacked later
maybe
today.
Maybe yes. That'll help our economy. Yeah. Look, if you're brave enough to ask your boss for a pay rise live on air, 133353, you might lose your job, but look, we'll give you a chaser prize pack or something. It'll all come out in the wash.
Real issues, unreal solutions. Triple M Radio Chaser. Ah.
Time to take a tour into the world of science.
Welcome to the exciting world of science. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
It's so exciting.
Charles Firth delves through the world of science to bring us the latest developments. Now, these things are real.
I had a bit of feedback from the boss about this segment during the week, and he was saying, you know, sometimes it gets a bit esoteric, gets a bit too sciencey.
I thought he was going to say, look, it's just too exciting, just like bring the pulse rate down. Yeah,
so I've decided this week that the theme for all the papers that I am delivering to you today should be science that you can use.
Practical science.
Really practical
stuff. Utilitarian.
That where, you know, like hundreds of thousands of, you know, government dollars have gone into this research. Yep. Just remember as you're hearing this
result. So we've paid
for
this. The taxpayer has paid for this.
Yeah, and now you can use it. So the first one is a paper put together in Trondheim, Norway, which discovered that wet underwear is uncomfortable.
Whoa!
No way.
What kind of funding you got for that?
Yeah, and specifically, wet underwear in the cold is
in
uncomfortable.
Norway.
When it freezes.
Particularly in Norway.
Yeah, they weren't, you know, sort of trying to work out whether it was uncomfortable, you know, somewhere nice and tropical. And
which
everything
it
like
is.
That. It was just, you know, in the cold, is wet underwear uncomfortable? Do you want to know what the results were?
I want to know the very specifics. Mm. Like, how were they uncomfortable?
It's because the significant cooling effect. It's a significant cooling effect on the thermoregulatory responses and thermal comfort.
So
that really helps explain. Yeah.
Okay.
And so what they So there you go.
So cold, that's with a lot of words around it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to replicate this research at home. All you got to do, put on wet undies, go into your local bottle-o, walk into the cool room with the 6 foot packs and paces, and your undies will freeze. You'll be fine.
And if you want to debunk this, put on the wet undies, then get into a swimming pool. Not uncomfortable at all.
But interestingly, what they also found was that, you know, the actual type of material that your underwear is made of doesn't have much effect at all on comfort. So
is that true? You get
polyester,
it was made of glass.
No, but you know, leather. You know, actually, it's all about the thickness of your underwear that actually makes it comfortable. Anyway, moving on. So remember, science you can
use.
Happy
Triple M management. This is what
useful.
There you go. Okay, so this was a study. The title of the paper was: Are full or empty beer bottles sturdier, and does their fracture threshold suffice to break the human skull?
Is this research into glassing?
This is research into glassing what is more effective, a full bottle of beer or an empty bottle of beer?
Right.
And the answer is both.
Okay.
Both break a human skull.
According to the Millwall Football Club.
But that if you have a full, and I mean, this is rocket science, this is amazing stuff. If you have a full bottle, it applies 70% more force than if it's an empty bottle.
Was this conducted at the University of King's Cross on a Saturday night?
This was at the University of, I don't know.
Okay,
we'll take your word for it.
Warwick. Yep. No, Denmark. It was in Denmark. Why are they all European today? Anyway, so there you go. And then the next, the last one, and this is something that I'm sure you've actually always wanted to answer is, which feels heavier, a pound of lead or a pound of feathers?
The same. Is that the answer? It's obviously a pound is a pound.
Now hang on, but what feels heavier?
What feels heavier?
But feels heavier what? If you drop it on someone's head?
Like, no, if you lift it up. They got a whole lot of people, there's 300 people, blindfolded volunteers, and recorded their perceptions of weight of a pound of lead and a pound of feathers. And they measured and they said, which one
feels heavier?
Feels heavier. Mm.
Right. And maybe. So you presume that they thought lead.
Well,
you thought that they would say
both the same.
They're both the same.
Yeah.
You idiot.
But I'm guessing. But the guess is obviously that they all think it's lead.
Yes, no, that's true.
Yeah, right.
What happened was they all perceived it as the lead being heavy, even though they were completely blindfolded.
But that's something about, isn't that something about, because the weight's in a very specific spot, while with the feathers it's actually spread out.
Yes, and what they said is that the muscular forces required to handle an object plays a role in the perception of weight. Is that not amazing?
Charles,
can you not use that in everyday...
I'm so going to try and pick up a girl using that information.
I don't want to be unkind, Charles, but to me, the segment felt more like a pound of lead than a pound of feathers.
Triple M.
Now, of course, in the news for many years now, we've been talking about the notorious, it's always called the notorious, Kerobokan prison in Bali. Of course, the Bali Nine were there. Chappelle Corby was there. A lot of Aussies have been in there over the years. It seems to be the only prison in Bali. But one Australian man has actually tunnelled out of there. Indonesian officials are looking for an Aussie who is among four people who've tunnelled out of Bali. They dug a narrow tunnel under the wall. His name is Sean Edward Davidson. And as luck would have it, guys, he's actually on the line now. Sean Edward Davidson, hello.
Yeah, how are you going?
How are you feeling this morning? Are you on the run?
I'm a shocker, absolute. Oh, my freaking head, man.
Are you scared, you know, sort of trapped, you know, feeling under siege or something?
No, mate, I've got a hangover that would just stop a dog. You have no idea. I went on this bender last night up in Kuta. It was, you know, I was celebrating, one thing led to another, mushies, the whole thing.
So how did you actually do it?
Well, how'd you get out, mate?
Well, I'd been in jail for like 9 months, right? So I'd been like digging a big hole just to keep myself interested, right? You know, when you dig holes just to keep yourself interested, you get, you've got to take up a hobby. You know,
I do it all the time.
Yeah, then at night I'd dream, you know, I'd dream of escape, of a bird leaving a cage, of freedom. You know, I'd think to myself, if only I had a tunnel. Then on Monday, I'm thinking to myself, Sean, hang on, holes, mate. Sean, if holes keep going, they're actually tunnels.
They are. That's a very good point. So what did you do then?
Yeah, I climbed into it and I escaped.
did any guards see you?
Oh, yeah, but they just thought I was digging a hole. They know that that's my hobby. They just thought, oh, you know, there's Shawnee digging his tunnels. You know, they didn't realise that a hole could be a tunnel. Plus, you know, I gave them quite a large amount of money.
Oh, right.
So, so what are you planning to do now? Are you going to try to get back to Australia?
Oh, God, no. I'm going to climb back into that tunnel and then probably back into myself.
What? Huh? Why?
What, have you been to Kuta? That is a shithole. It is full of drunk Aussie bogans. No, Kerobokan prison is so much nicer.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M. Charles, Reese, Mark and Dom. It's time for the nation's favourite radio segment.
Cat's pyjamas or
cat's piss.
All right, three stories from the news. I put them to the panel. Are they cat's pyjamas or cat's piss? Now, guys, are you familiar with the sitcom from the 1990s, Friends? Did people watch Friends?
Yes. Oh, yes. Central Perk.
I liked Friends.
If it hasn't been your day, your month, or even your year, then maybe Friends is for you.
Yeah, it is. It's a great show. I really enjoy it, even though a lot of people hate on Friends. Someone's come up with an alternative ending to Friends, the whole of the 10 years of Friends, all the top ratings. I want to ask you, is this cat's pyjamas? Is this theory, cat's pyjamas or cat's piss? At the very end of it, Phoebe, homeless and addicted to meth, reveals that she was gazing into Central Perk the whole time and imagined the entire thing.
Yep, that I totally buy that.
Totally cat's pyjamas.
Yeah, absolutely. And because I've heard that, you know that theory about Greece? I don't know if you've heard that.
No.
That Sandy is actually dead. Yeah, the whole time, throughout the entire story. She actually did drown.
You can't look at me. I'm Sandra Day. I'm actually a
ghost. She's a ghost. So it's like that's the entire storyline of Greece. So I'm going cat's pyjamas. I love theories like this.
It totally makes sense why everyone laughed every 30 seconds in Friends the whole way through. Like it has that dreamlike quality.
Because Phoebe's the odd friend out, right? Like she's kind of weird. She's the only one that doesn't date any of the other friends.
Yep.
So it makes sense that it could all be external to her, I guess.
Well, I think this is cat's piss because this disrespects the artistic integrity of Friends. We all want to maintain on Radio Chaser. So no, it's not for this person to decide what the reality was. So step aside and let's just stick with our memories.
Well, the co-creator is appalled by this theory, which is probably makes sense. All right, second story here. A head-banging and air-drumming grandfather has been filmed rocking out to Metallica while sitting in traffic. My question to the panel, is there an upper age for air drumming and headbanging? Was he just embarrassing himself? Was it cat's piss? Or was it cat's pyjamas? Is this how we all want to celebrate our 80s and 90s?
No, we all need to grow old disgracefully. That is just especially if you're a Metallica fan.
Can I just say, grandfathers these days, you can be a grandfather in your 40s these days. So how old is this grandfather? Do we know how old is
from the look? He looks pretty stereotypical. Like, he's definitely in his 70s or... All right, I don't think he's just into classic FM.
Sure. Are they sure that he wasn't just having a fit?
No. The video shows him. You can hear Metallica, and he's actually in time. He hits the Skins, it says here, in time with the beat of the song, and it's very loud. He likes his Metallica loud.
Jory wasn't in Metallica.
It might be Lars's
dad.
Not sure. All right, final story here today. This is a moral dilemma for animal lovers. So, a goat was born in India.
As soon as there's goat, it's funny. It's just funny.
Pajamas.
It's
got goat.
Yeah. Hang on. A mutant goat was born with...
Mutant goat! Oh, yes!
With no eyes and human-like lips.
Oh, this is Satan. So Satan was literally born.
So it's a pretty extraordinary photo. So the goat was born.
I love that we're doing a photo. Oh, yeah. That's
fantastic.
Now,
the farmer was shocked, but his wife told him to save the goat. He's going to hand-rear it, look after it, and make sure it doesn't die. Mm-hmm. But the villagers think that it's cursed, and they want to kill the goat. Is the goat cat's pyjamas? Does it deserve to live? Or cat's piss? Should it be put out of its misery?
Well, who says it's got misery? Who said there's misery?
The villagers want to kill it.
No, but you're cursed. Presuming that it's in misery. It could be a very happy goat. It's just that these crazy villagers think it's Satan.
It's got a rare disorder. It doesn't allow eye tissue to grow. It might be kind to just... Get out of it. You know, just get rid of it.
You know what the nice thing, the decent thing to do would be to put it in a cage and sell tickets.
So you're saying cat's pajamas on the basis
pajamas,
of exploitation.
Yeah.
All right. Panel.
So I can't remember what we're evaluating here, but I'm very much
should
in favor.
Should the goat live or die, Mark?
Live! Of course it should live. What are you talking about? I mean, unless it's delicious. I mean, if it's delicious, then maybe, I don't know, a mutant goat. Mm. I mean, how much does that go for a kilo? I don't know. Radio
Chaser. Triple M. Great news for New South Wales. Absolutely. Because of the whole poles and wires thing, the government is in huge surplus, apparently. The state budget's coming down today. And from what we understand, a $4.5 billion surplus is up for grabs. What this means in practice is we've got $4.5 billion to blow on New South Wales. What do we do with it?
On blow.
I think they've got to turn that money into more money, okay? I think what they should do is build a state-owned casino.
Oh, hello.
Yes,
like it.
Because if you remember, the Opera House was built on raffle tickets.
Yeah.
Everybody bought raffle tickets.
Yeah,
we got a freaking
too,
Opera House out of it.
Yeah.
And the bridge, there you go. If we had a casino, can you imagine like how much money's coming our way?
So, I know where you can put it too. You can just basically pave in Circular Quay and right there where the ferries go, where they are now, that's the perfect spot.
It's just a casino.
The Carl Casino.
Turn
the Carl Expressway into a casino.
Yes.
So I like the idea of using the $4.5 billion to generate more money. I've got a great tip on a horse this afternoon. Come on, New South Wales.
Yeah, come on, Warwick Farm.
It's a certainty.
I reckon Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the thing. It's risen 100,000% in the last 10 years.
Yep.
So if we put it in at $4.5 billion that means we'd get $4.5 trillion.
Wow!
If we got the same return,
imagine getting that phone call going, "There's a Gladys on the line who wants to buy $4.5 billion worth of Bitcoin."
And look, Bitcoin, of course, is the preferred currency of criminals, so it's perfect for New South Wales politicians. Most of them,
that's why we changed the name of Sydney to Silk Road.
I think his name's Eddie O'Bitcoin now. Actually,
I think we're not thinking big enough. This is a lot of money we're talking about here. $4.5 billion. I reckon we could buy a house in Sydney.
We probably could. Maybe just the one.
I actually reckon one of the things that they should try and, you know, maybe put a bit of money into is digging up more of George Street.
I'm thinking double-decker trams now. Double-decker trams, like widen the whole thing.
Well, that's true. Mm. We're building all this light rail. Can we really splash out heavy rail? Hey. Well, they could make the light rail so actually goes to more places people live. Like, they're having a bit in Parramatta, a bit in Sydney. What say we join them up? Is that crazy? Am I talking crazy?
That's crazy talk.
You're talking crazy. Yeah,
but what I think is we've got a big problem. Melbourne's catching up, like in terms of demographics. We've got to build more Sydney. We've got to build so much Sydney. We've got to build Sydney all the way down to enclose Melbourne.
I like it.
There's no way it can ever take
over.
So
then Melbourne's just considered an outer suburb.
Yes.
You know, like a lesser place kind of that you want to be. Yeah. And it should go up to Newcastle, obviously. That would be just a giant mega city, like Mexico City. That'd be good.
Well, we could do that. I suppose we could build, you know, affordable housing for ambos and other emergency service workers.
No.
Bad idea. No. Radio Chaser. Triple M. And guys, France.
Yes.
Haven't they been through enough? They've had terrorist attacks. They've stuffed up in the last World Cup. Marcel Marceau died not long ago. And now there's a camembert shortage.
Oh, Le Grand Camembert.
Yeah.
They produce 360 million wheels of camembert every year, but only 4 million of those are the proper thing, the real thing, maybe proper raw milk, the traditional way, real camembert.
The others are, I can't believe it's not camembert.
That's right. It's outrageous. It's
also
upsetting.
Known as brie.
It's a crisis. It's a disaster. Cheese lovers of the world, the news is not good. And we've got an exclusive report on this terrible situation.
Here in Normandy, there are signs everywhere of the challenges facing Europe. The fracturing of Brexit, the refugee crisis, and here in France, perhaps the greatest threat of them all, the camembert shortage.
How can you have France without the camembert? It's like Italy without the pizza, Greece without its feta and tax fraud, or Germany without its awkward death camp legacy.
When the news first broke, there was widespread panic. And then, gloomy acceptance from fromagerie owners like this man.
I don't know how we survive without camembert. What will they take next? Our stripy shirts, our baguettes, our Eiffel Tower, our lazy cliched symbols of France? Jamais!
Proper camembert is made with unpasteurized milk. Milk that's increasingly hard to source in regulated Europe. And France's cheesemakers aren't happy.
Pasteurization prevents bacteria!
No!
Listeria!
No!
Diphtheria!
No!
This is tyranny!
Wait!
The French president convened their top national security committee.
Messieurs, dames, this is our highest priority. C'est urgent. But first, le déjeuner.
They took a 3-hour lunch break, further depleting the dwindling stocks of camembert. And then they took decisive action.
There is only one way. We go on strike immediately!
The cheesemakers were also required to go on strike. With the result that France has now completely run out of camembert.
The Europeans can take our fromage, but they'll never take our strikes! Jamais!
Triple M. Radio Chaser.
Yep, tomorrow, of course, State of Origin Game 2. New South Wales a chance to take out a rare series. I'm going to head out to Homebush tomorrow night. Cannot wait.
I think Thurston's going to make this. I think Queensland are actually going to win this.
Oh, really?
I really do. Mate. I think Thurston is the greatest rugby league player on earth, and he's the game changer.
Guess who grew up in
Canberra? He's going to make all the plays. This is just true, though. Like, I think Thurston is an incredible player.
I must say, the only other time I've been to Origin was in 2013. New South Wales won the first game in Queensland. Game two at the Olympic Stadium. I was so pumped. I was going to finally see us win.
Yep.
Got smashed.
That's
so
it.
It could be my fault. It could actually all be me. Anyway, in honour of this, we need to start getting territorial. We need to start getting tribal. We've got a quiz. Can you pick the Queenslander? 133-53. There's a chase at prize pack up for grabs. 133-53. The daily quiz. Can you pick the Queenslander? Let's kick things off with Gary from Wollongong. Hey, Gary.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. Very simple game here. Can you pick the Queenslander? Everyone on the list is from Queensland or New South Wales. And we're doing origin rules. Where did they grow up in, really? Because some of them were born overseas. Let's not get into that. Where are they from? First of all, Alan Jones, New South Wales or Queensland?
Queensland.
Yes!
Yes,
he is! Moved down here to find a job, but no, a genuine banana bender, shall we say. Second of all, Gary, Angus Young of Akadaka.
I'm not touching that. I'm Queensland not touching
or
that.
New South Wales?
You're all alone with that one, Dom.
Don't touch
New South Wales.
Yes! Originally from the UK, but have definitely grew up in Sydney. You're nailing this, mate. All right, number three, Don Bradman. Ooh. Greatest Australian sportsman of all time.
Many places claim him. Many places.
Queensland or New South Wales?
New South Wales.
Yes! Barrel boy.
That's it.
Doing very well here. We've got a full board of callers. They may not get a chance. Gary's pretty good at this game. Next up, this could be trickier, Jessica Watson. The sailor. Queensland?
Oh, the solo sailor.
Queensland or New South Wales?
Hero.
Queensland.
You got it!
Wait!
Because you can tell, right? Because she wanted to spend her most of her life at sea.
Yeah.
Because she's from Queensland.
I thought you were going to say, you can tell, right? Because she's totally racist.
We're not saying she's racist, but anyway. And the thing is as well, where did her? Where
just
did she finish up?
Whatever.
Where did she finish up in the boat? Sydney Opera House, because we're better.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say Dixie or somewhere, but anyway, whatever.
All right, next question. Ian Thorpe, Queensland or New South Wales, greatest Olympian of all time?
Yes.
Queensland.
No!
No, mate,
so
no.
Well. We'll move on. Dave from Gosford. Sorry. Thorpe, he is from...
Hello?
Dave.
New South Wales.
New South Wales, yes!
I think he's riding a motorbike while phoning us.
That's bloody New South Wales of him. Well done. All right. I hope you're not actually doing that. Paul Hogan.
Dom has to actually go, I hope we're covered by that. Don't say that you're happy about a motorbike riding and a confirming.
I went through the training and I saw all the things people complain about.
Right.
Don't die on us, Dave.
Okay.
Is Paul Hogan from New South Wales or Queensland?
New South Wales.
Yes.
New South Wales. So you're almost inaudible, but well done. Final question here. The Chaser Prize Pack up for grabs here. Final question. Kyle Sandilands. Is he from New South Wales or Queensland?
Yes!
Yep,
you've done it. Got the prize.
Alan Jones, yeah. Jessica Watson, and Kyle. There's a pattern forming in
you
these
win a
people.
Banjo and two brothers that look alike.
They all come south to find work. Beautiful work. We've got to chase the prize back for you. Go the Blues, Charles.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Now, we love a good reality show here on Radio Chaser. However, one show coming up may not necessarily fit the definition of a good reality show. Mark Humphries, tell us about Yummy Mummies.
Well, you know how some mummies are yummy?
I've heard this. It's a thing that sometimes happens.
So that was basically the pitch to Channel 7, I understand. You know how some mummies are yummy? And then they said, we'll take 12 episodes.
Right.
So I think this is basically, I get the impression it's sort of like Real Housewives of wherever with a bump.
Yeah, Real Housewives up the duck. Now, I've got a clip of the show, I think. Can we hear the...
They're all yummy mummies and they're all having babies. Are they for real? You bet.
You do realise once you have the baby, what's going to happen? They're going to put it on your tummy and it's going to crawl up and, like, head nod. And then it's going to attach to your boob and suck.
Just to be clear, those sound effects were added by the show.
Yes.
That wasn't us. How are we feeling? How yummy is that sounding?
Delicious.
Based on the sound effects, it sounds like they are going to eat the child. That's what.
So, look, we thought, if there's a show for yummy mummies, we should put together a show for expectant fathers. Here's a bit of a clip.
From the network that brought you Yummy Mummies comes an equally terrible idea for a TV show. Dickhead Dads. They're all dickheads and they're all having kids.
Jesus, honey, look at the size of those things. You're going to put dairy farmers out of business.
All the drama.
Hey, mate, sorry to tell you, there's another bloke inside your missus.
You what, mate?
I'm talking about your baby.
Ah, get on, you dickhead.
All the tension.
Honey, there's something I need to ask you. Is that thing taking a shit in you right now?
All the laughs.
What's the average human life expectancy these days?
Oh, about 80 years.
Jeez, not bad for 3 minutes work.
And a little bit of love.
How old do they have to be until I can tell them they're an accident?
Fatherhood isn't going to be as easy as they thought.
You know the average cost of raising a kid is almost $1 million?
Shit! The bottle of wine that got us into this mess only cost 30.
But they'll figure it out in the end.
Have you thought about names, mate?
I'm thinking Hilux, after my dad, who drove a Toyota Hilux.
Mate, I love it.
Dickhead Dads, coming soon to our new digital channel, 7 Dickhead.
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.